Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that gives you quirky writing tips and life tips. We start with a random thought, and then we go into the more professional aspect, which is not really all that professional, of writing tips and life tips. This podcast is about literary agents behaving badly. And speaking of behaving badly, here's my husband, Sean Farrar.
That's my job, baby.
Exactly.
Sean's my wife, Carrie Jones, is a New York Times and international best-selling author and woman of complete awesome sauce.
And Sean is my arm candy. Sit back, get ready, and we're going to try to help you out. Hey, it's Random Thought in the Office time. Sean, do you have any random thoughts?
Yeah, I was thinking, this is where I say writing tip of the pod, but I was wrong.
No, you're wrong, man. Hey, it's Sunday. We're a little burnout on the week.
Yeah, it's late at night, actually.
Because we don't ever get a day off.
Never.
Ever. And we just came off a school vacation week, and now school starts again, and our little youngin is not into school, and she's remote schooling, and so we're about to enter the land of crap.
So we're going from heaven to hell.
To hell! Yeah.
Come on, April break!
Woo! It's only February, but we are not going to make it through March.
It's going to be a rough month.
Wicked shout out to all our sweet friends in Austin and the rest of Texas who have had a really crappy week.
Oh my God, those poor people.
Yeah, I have never wanted a Star Trek transporter beam to beam everyone out of there and to here as much as I wanted this last week. Shawnee, you're yawning.
I know, it's late at night, but at least if they were here, they could be warm.
We live in Maine.
But we have power.
We do have power. And we have a generator because we're hoity toity like that.
Yeah.
And we have a barking dog.
We're prepared. If you stop this for just a minute, I'll go take care of that.
No, man. So this week, we're going to talk about literary agents behaving badly, which is always fun. Did you know that?
I'm really interested in what you have to say.
So anyways, in the world of Twitter, often in the kids' book and children's book writing world, there's often, some people call it cancel culture, some people call it accountability, but it's where people get crapped on or made accountable for the crap that they have done. And that's been happening with no names mentioned this past week for a certain agent.
I'm glad you made that differentiation.
And you know what? I've had my own issues with agents just as bad as what's happening now, but worse. And I've never spoken about it. I feel kind of like a wimp.
Because you've never spoken out about it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's because you're kind, man.
I know, because I kind of like, oh, well, see, that's the thing. Is it kind to not, like, call out your agent for behaving badly? Because then you're helping all these other writers.
You're conflict-averse, baby.
I am conflict-averse. Or is it kind to call the agent out or not call the agent out? Because what if they're just making that one mistake with you?
That's right.
It's really hard to know.
It is.
It's kind of like a marriage, man.
Hey.
What?
I never called you out.
I have been a perfect angel, and there is nothing to call me out about.
Of course you have, baby.
If you all could see me, you could see my halo and wings right now.
Writing tip of the pod.
Hey, it's a writing tip of the pod time in which we talk about agents behaving badly, in which basically Sean will probably behave badly because we're doing this at night. Never good idea.
It's almost 9:30, baby.
It's late for us old people.
It's past our bedtime.
So there's been a lot of scuttlebutt in the children's book world about agents behaving badly, which sounds like a spring fling road trip, girls gone wild.
It does. Agents behaving badly.
But it's more about agents being dicks and unprofessional.
Did you say a bad word?
Yeah, I really don't care.
Oh my God.
So one recent superstar agent, which we will not name because who knows, is all allegations, has been outed for allegedly no longer agenting ethics.
Hey, wait, I just gotta ask this. Does this mean that some author is doing all this because they couldn't sell a book?
No.
And they think their agent sucks?
No, it's multiple authors.
All right.
Okay.
I'm just clarifying.
So this agenting unethically is not telling clients about their foreign rights, their submissions, speaking badly about authors to other industry professionals, or being sexually harassing, bigoted, racist schmucks.
Oh.
Allegedly.
Right.
So there is this weird power dynamic that Sean doesn't understand because he's not being in the traditional publishing world. But it happens between traditionally published authors and their agents. And the agents are really like gatekeepers to the industry, even if they don't want to be. Like the coolest agents are like, I don't think I should be a gatekeeper. And that's why they're cool. But it's good for writers to remember that they can expect not to be treated like crap by the agent.
They definitely shouldn't be treated like crap, but in what? Your attempt to throw me under the bus, do you want me to tell you what I think about agents?
No, from because, what I've seen so because far? Because then all agents will hate me.
Okay.
Sean is not a fan of agents.
Because you know I have emailed agents on your behalf.
Honestly.
And I was not kind.
He was not. Wait, did you really do that?
Yeah.
All right. That's an agent I fired. So anyways, there are certain things you do not want your agent to do. You don't want your agent to ghost you.
You don't want anybody to ghost you.
You're like not at a party with your agent and like is they're not your boyfriend or girlfriend. And if you send them an email, they should reply.
That's right.
If they don't reply, they're a schmuck.
That was kind of the gist of my email to your agent.
Yes. So, and I was one of the top performing authors for my agent, but they were going through a crisis, apparently, allegedly, and they did not email me back. I'm being kind. All right, number two. You do not want your agent to be such a tool that most editors don't even want to work with them.
Well, no, you definitely don't want that.
You don't want your agent to give you hives.
No, you don't want that. That's STDs.
Jeez, I'm gross, Sean. You don't want your agent to not tell you who your book is being submitted to.
What?
My current agent is awesome because she always does that. My last agent always did that. She was awesome too. Not all my agents have done that.
Huh.
You do not want your agent to sexually harass you, be racist, be too burnt out or wigged out on drugs or alcohol that they don't represent you well.
No, nobody wants that.
No, but it happens.
I'm
and
sure.
Then finally, you don't want your agent to be too busy or so busy that they don't have time for you.
That's right. Although that sounds like a promising agent, but you don't want that.
Yeah, you want your agent to have time to respond to your emails, to have time to tell you, hey, this is who I'm submitting to. You have time to be like, yeah, you should send it out to more beta readers.
Right.
You want your agent to be able to read your stuff that you send them within a month or two at the very most.
Does anybody do that?
Read that quickly?
I don't know. It seems like the traditional publishing world moves at a freaking snail's pace.
It does. It does. If you are from the business world or if you're from the world of journalism and you are used to a fast turnaround, the world of traditional publishing is not like that.
Man.
And it is very hard to adjust to. If you are a deadline person and then you go and are waiting for your agent feedback or from your editor feedback... Somebody flushed the toilet in our house. I don't know if you heard that, but it was not us. We are not pooping during this podcast.
Somebody in our professional studio has flushed the toilet.
Anyways, you want that turnaround. Like, you expect, like, a one-day turnaround. If you're from the world of journalism, that's not going to happen.
No, God, no.
But it shouldn't take them 6 months to a year to reply.
No.
So, we're not going to call out agents here because that's not what we're about. We're not about canceling. We're not about being dicks ourselves. But here are some myths about agents that new authors really need to understand. One.
They work for you. You don't work for them, Carrie Jones.
All right. I have a hard time with that one. Two.
They are human, not gods. Be
gentle with them.
Be gentle with them, but expect them to be professional.
Three. Though as awesome when they are, it's not their job to be your bestie.
No.
And four.
They may not be your agent for life. Get too attached.
I'm on my third agent. I'm really super lucky because I've never had to like super query for an agent. you know, like,
right.
In ways other people have. Like, but it's okay to part ways.
It surely is.
Sometimes you grow past each other, and sometimes things happen, and that's okay. I feel sometimes like divorcing, but it isn't. It's a professional relationship.
No, I'm going to go with divorcing analogy, because you know what? Sometimes people just aren't like, sometimes you just don't match up.
You outgrow people sometimes, right?
That's right.
Like, you don't have to be married and agented for life.
That's right.
So, what's an agent's job, Sean?
Get book contracts for you.
What else, boo?
Negotiate those contracts for you to the best benefit they freaking can.
What else, Sean, who's focused on money?
Submit your manuscripts to get those contracts and not just sit on them and tell you what you've done wrong and what you need to correct. I'm ad-libbing here.
Sean's very anti-editorial agents because he feels that they are agents and not writers.
So I feel that so strongly.
But there are definitely agents who will try to help you make your manuscript better. And there are agents who will be like, dude, I'm just sending it in. You're the author. I'm the agent.
I think this is the most important one. Number four.
And number four is protect your interests. The agent's job is to protect you.
That's right. And an experienced agent, when you sell a book and you're writing a contract, they're going to know what needs to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
E-books, movie rights, every little thing you can think of.
Merchandising, foreign rights.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes agents be amazing at contracts and horrible at getting back to you. Sometimes agents will be amazing at getting back to you and giving you editorial comments, which Sean doesn't want. And horrible at contracts. Some agents will be amazing at everything. Some will be mediocre at everything. You gotta know what you want.
That's right.
But the agent's full-on, total job is to protect you.
That's right.
Your interest. That's why they get the 15%.
And get you the most money they can.
Or the best deal that they can. Sometimes the biggest advance is not the best deal.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, finally, no, it's not finally, doing all this, your agent should always, one,
respond in a timely fashion to your inquiries,
but
don't be a punk and spam them.
Nobody wants you to be a punk and spam them. You know, there was a conference I went to and somebody followed the agent into the bathroom.
Yeah.
An unagented pre-published author.
Yeah.
And, like, poked their like manuscript under the stall that the agent was doing their business in,
uh-huh.
And tried to engage them.
Oh, dude, I give them props.
No, there's no props there. There's only poops there. Number two, an agent.
Did the agent wipe their butt with the manuscript?
I would hope so. Number two, agents should always tell you where they are submitting your stories, and if you split with an agent. That agent shouldn't say, I'm never talking to you again because my feelings are too hurt. They should actually send you a list of everywhere that your stories
have been. Yeah, that's right.
Talking from experience. Number three.
Tell you when your stories are rejected or accepted and relay feedback no matter if it's rejected or accepted.
Exactly. So, when you look for an agent, you want to, one,
research the hell out of everyone and find your top 10. Make sure they actually represent the kind of book you're writing.
You don't want to send your horror novel about cannibalistic gerbils in love with Arnie Hammer to someone who only does picture books.
That's right. Oh, that'd be a heck of a picture book,
though.
It
would be kind of a cool picture book. All right, number two, you want to make
sure. Gnawing on the bone.
Jeez, I'm crap. When you look for an agent, you want to make sure that
they aren't villains.
And you can do that by looking at agent quackers or quackers.
Crackers. Agent crackers.
Agent trackers and writer tracker. Beware websites.
That was agent trackers.
Not crackers. We're the crackers here. Number three, you want to check the proper way to submit them to
them. Don't most of them have that online? Like,
Yes, they all have it online. You're just going to do like a whole half hour research. You can do that, writers. You wrote a whole novel. You can
query them in a professional way, folks. And that means if you've never written a query letter, send it out to somebody that has and get a little help.
Yeah, help is
because
good.
I've seen over Carrie's shoulder some really crappy query letters.
They're kind of fun, though. The crappy ones are fun.
Yeah, right. But they're not anything that's going to sell a book.
Anyways, Writers Beware is an awesome site for understanding what agents should or shouldn't do. We have the link in our podcast notes at carriejonesbooks.com, and you should totally check it out. So I'll condense. The writing tip of the pod is don't be a schmuck. Don't let your agent be a schmuck. You're not married to them. They're working for you. Set your expectations.
Most importantly, don't let your agent be a schmuck. If you're a schmuck, that's not your fault.
Yeah, you just
maybe you're
schmuck.
A beginning author, right? You don't have the experience.
Well, that doesn't mean you should be a schmuck.
Oh, no, don't be like an idiot.
Like
asshole
stalking
schmuck.
The language. What? Stalking them in a bathroom stall or anything. You want to be.
I think that's funny.
No, it's not. Imagine you're the agent and you're in the middle of conference. You finally have some downtime to take a poo.
I would have wiped it on the first page and thrown it back over the door to him.
You would be the most interesting agent in the world.
Oh, heck yeah, I would.
Oh, my lord.
I would not do any editorializing because I'd be able to tell a bestseller from, by reading it. And then I'd let the professionals at the traditional publishing house edit that thing.
Once again, Sean has strong
edit that thing.
Edit that thing.
It should be edited before you send it in.
Yeah, it should be the best possible.
At least give it a second read through, people. Dog tip for life, baby.
I legit just asked Sean not to be quite so loud when he said dog tip for life. And obviously, I have a lot of power here. And much like the typical power dynamic between a writer and author, it's not.
A writer and an author?
I'm sorry, a writer and an agent. It's a bit skewed. It's skewed, man. I can't carry this whole podcast.
I know. God forbid me and Sparty do any work.
Yeah, seriously. I'm the tech guy. I'm the writer. What do you do?
I'm the talent. How many times do I have to tell you, baby?
This is going to be the podcast that ends the podcast.
No.
Yeah.
We've been watching Dave Chappelle. What's that other guy's name there?
Gallagher?
No, the guy that never sleeps.
I have no idea.
Yeah, you do.
I have no idea.
You admire him because he works so hard and he never sleeps. He's a comedian.
Kevin Hart,
yes.
Chris Hart?
No, it's Kevin
Chris
Hart.
Chris Rock?
I'm okay. The Kevin Hart, baby.
You are not Kevin Hart, honey.
What? I never sleep.
Dude, you fall asleep like in two hot seconds.
I know.
On a couch.
You think Kevin Hart gets up in the middle of the night and the dog's out?
Maybe. He seems like
You think Kevin Hart gets up in the middle of the night because the cat's scratching at the door to throw him in the basement? So they can't bother you all night long?
We've got cats who really want to be part of the world.
Oh my God, they're ignorant. Right. Anyways, they're beautiful cats. I love them to death.
We love them so much.
So, Sparty said, if your agent isn't giving you a treat at least 50% of the time he goes to the pantry, dump him.
Oh my God.
Carrie'd make a good agent.
Sean is really mean because I'm really soft and the dogs look at me and they go near the pantry door and I cave so hard. Oh, today I hid a piece of pizza crust up my sleeve.
You didn't hide it. I watched you do it. You're like the worst magician in the world.
I'm really bad at lying. And I'm really bad at magic. And I'm really bad at manipulation. And I'm really bad at a lot of things. But I'm really good at giving in to other people and animals.
Or animals, yes.
So today...
Hey, you are good at giving in to people's needs.
Let me finish.
Finish up, baby.
So today...
Done yet? I'm just kidding. Go, baby.
In 2 years when we're divorced, I'm going to bring this into the court and be like, look.
If we're already divorced, who gives a crap?
During the divorce proceedings, I'm going to be like, look, this is why.
I still get half. Okay, here's a dog tip. If you're trying to sneak treats to the dogs and the treats are in the pantry and your husband's a little bit like OCD, really observant because he used to be a cop, don't leave the pantry door open every time you go to get a treat.
Okay, I leave the pantry door open because one of the cats goes in the pantry when I give the treats.
I know, because you don't just treat the dogs. You treat the whole family.
I do, because I love everyone.
You're a sweetheart, baby.
So here's a dog tip for life. Sean, don't talk for a second. You can do this, right? You can be quiet. The dog tip for life is, if you're going to give treats to everyone, just own up for it. But also know that you deserve treats yourself.
Baby, you never own up for it. You always try to lie. But you're the most kind-hearted person I know. And you treat me and everybody else in this house just as much as the dogs and the cats.
And, like, look what I get back. Just constant...
Love!
No, this is not love.
It's love.
This is so not love.
Tell her it's love, people.
No. The end.
Hey folks, thanks for listening. It's Valentine's Day today, by the way. I hope you have a spectacular one, whether you have anybody to celebrate it or not.
You'll be love yourself. To this afterwards.
Right. But I hope you had a great weekend.
Yeah. Hey, and shout out to the amazing music that we've clipped and shortened in this podcast. It's awesome and made available through the Creative Commons license. And it's broke for free, and the song is Summer Spliff. We have a new podcast.
Loving the Strange.
And we live stream it on my Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn on Fridays. My Facebook, Twitter handle, and also on YouTube is either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. And the last week's podcast was all about loving places and being called to them when you've never been there before.
And if you can remember to like, share, and subscribe to any of our and all of our social media activities, we would love you for it.
And give you our next-born baby. There will be none.
I was going to say, don't hold your breath for that.
The notes for this podcast are on CarrieJonesBooks.blog. Check it out.